Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
And welcome to another edition of Carolla Classics. Happy Saturday. This is Chris Loxamon, executive producer of The Adam Carolla Show, along with Carolla archivist, Superfan Giovanni.
I'm here, and we're actually recording this on Saturday. Sorry it's late, guys.
We got a lot of clips, but first off, I want to remind you that if you're finding this show on The Adam Carolla Show feed, I invite you to check out Carolla Classics on Podcast One, where we'll be posting some extra content there. Also, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and let Podcast One and iTunes and everyone know that you're loving Carolla Classics. We're getting a lot of great feedback and really appreciate everybody listening. Now, let's get on with the clips. Let's start this one off. This is from 2013 featuring Alison Rosen, Brian Bishop, and two doctors. Well, Dr. Life is not actually in this section, but he's in the episode, but also featuring Dr. Funny, Dave Damashek.
Yep, from May 28th, 2013. This is a clip that was requested by Sean Zimmerman. Sean makes jokes on Twitter. He writes, so my favorite improv on the show ever was from the Dr. Life and Dave Damashek episode. Dave plays a disgruntled Christian Mingle customer phoning in a complaint to God, and Adam Carolla plays God. He says it was pure comedy gold and was snubbed for an ACE Award nomination. He plays the clip for anyone to listen to introduce him to the show. And he doesn't believe it's ever been replayed since the original show date. So I dug it up, and it is hilarious.
All right, so we're going to take a listen to that. And also, make sure if you guys want to request any clips, email us, classics@adamcarolla.com, or tweet us at Giovanni Giorgio, or at me, Chris Loxamana, and let us know. Sean, this one's for you.
Adam Carolla Show, 1088.
Crepe, crepe, crepe of the week, of the week. He or she is the crepe of the week. Well, I had one in mind, but I have to take a quick detour now. Alison Rosen. I don't know why. I don't what's with the stink eye? I'm trying to get through this. I have a couple of minutes each week, and all I get from you is, I can't wait to hear you talk some more, Adam Carolla. You know? I don't like that. Taste the blaster. See how you like this. Jerk. That was a nice. I just winged you.
Can I appeal this?
I know you may not, and I would have to live with it then. Drop it.
Okay. All right. The good doctor is waiting to come in.
All right. Let's just get to it quickly then. I was these commercials, I didn't realize, and it's funny because the good doctor who we see in every airline magazine for his remarkable physical transformation, he dropped all that weight. He's now muscle bound. This is one of those things, and then when you flip through the magazine more, it's filled with dating websites, ways to go on dates, always all these things. Everybody's looking for someone else. And Match.com is successful, and then they break it out into subsections, J-Date. I think there's something called Find Black Singles, which I find a little offensive. I feel like that's not an appropriate name. But the worst of them all, ChristianMingle.com.
Mm-hmm.
It says, find God's match for you. Find God's match for you. So God is getting involved here. He is actually setting you up. Jesus is getting involved in who you go out with. And it occurs to me, if you are a devout enough person that you're going for the help at ChristianMingle.com, you can't really say no. But I assume they don't have 100% success rate. I assume everybody who goes to ChristianMingle.com doesn't marry the person that they first get set up with, right? And this seems like you lack some faith. And
well,
I think that's bad behavior. You can't say
thing.
No.
You don't. God's supposed to be doing the matchmaking.
Right,
I mean,
he is.
Why do you have to go online if God is finding the match for you? You know, number
God
one,
can bring you to the keyboard.
Yes. And number two, mm-hmm. yeah, it's very funny because I'm sure there's a lot of people that see people's headshots and they look fantastic and they're 12 years old and then they arrange a date and then they notice they have a fat ass and then they're like, you know what? I talked to God in the bathroom. He said, nah. I said to keep moving.
Like, well, that's exactly right. What is the premise of a website in which Jesus has played matchmaker? You're kind of put in a real tough pickle if you're not into the girl. Bald Brian, let's do a reenactment. play it up. Ace, you be Jesus Christ. I will be a dissatisfied customer. Mm-hmm. I am going to be a dissatisfied customer blowing in a call to you to render my not complaint.
Always let it ring three times because I don't want them to think I'm desperate. You know, you don't want God doesn't pick up the phone. Hello?
Right.
Who is this? God?
He's busy after all, right?
All right, no caller ID, so I do the thing, you know. Hello? I don't commit. Hello?
Yeah, calling for Jesus.
Who's calling?
Name's Gail. You probably recognize the name. You set me up on a blind date a couple of days ago.
Oh, right.
Girl named Chastity.
Yeah. Oh, TGI Fridays with the coupon?
Yeah. I figured you'd be up to speed.
Nice.
Well,
nice, my son. Should have rested on the day you were born.
Well, that's one of those things, like they say. I mean, that's a subjective sort of thing, and that's kind of the reason for my call. I'm a big fan of your work. I think.
Yeah, but the half off the entrees before 5 p.m. on the first date with the coupon.
Well,
I mean, omnipotent, you know.
I'm aware that you may have some notes for me, and I'm interested in your inputs, but in your input. But really, the issue is, you know, I just don't. No offense, Jesus, but she wasn't for me. Mm. I just don't think it's a match. I've put all my faith in you. Obviously, I've given my life over to you.
Hold on a second. I'm right in the middle of trying to get Dane Cook his career back. I can't.
I really am looking for love.
That's a head scratcher. So you're what?
I really am.
You want your money back?
Anxious to be in love. No. I just wanted to sort of, I don't want to complain. I don't want to sound that way or ungrateful. I just wanted to let you know that maybe we could try again because I really wasn't into Chastity.
Yeah.
I just was.
Was that her name?
Yeah.
Is that the Bono kid?
No, it was not because I didn't.
Boy, that kid's
believe
confused,
me, Jesus, you know, and I would never be that sort of guy.
We had to have a team meeting on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the
one you're talking about has a wang, but I don't want to talk about that.
Well, first off, watch your language. I had to tell everyone, pull up a cloud. We really got to talk this one out when it came to Chance Bono. I mean, that was we were burning the midnight oil. You know, most people use this line to beg for the life of their five-year-old with a tumor, not to bitch about, Jada, screw Jada, Christian singles or whatever it is. You know, they do this kind of thing when an airplane is plummeting toward a volcano. You know, that's when the phone rings. I get a lot of screaming and a lot of apologies. I don't get a lot of bitching. You know, it's not
I do go to church.
Yeah, I'm not Judd
week.
McElvain, the consumer hotline. Google that shit, bitch.
Wow. Jesus?
Jesus digging deep.
I'm sorry. The guy was he looked up consumer fraud. He lived on the earth.
Don't be upset. I
think he was
please,
in North
Lord.
America.
Please,
I
Lord.
Put a beacon on him.
You know.
Yeah.
Don't be upset with
Listen,
me. I'm just trying to tell
no,
you
I'm
that
not,
maybe.
Obviously, I'm irritable. First off, I was eating.
Oh, all right. But that being said, I feel like.
You know what I have?
What's that?
Angel hair pasta. Oh. Usually gets a laugh. Not just
I'm
a grunt.
I think that's terrific.
You think that's funny? It gets a laugh. It always gets a laugh.
And what about for dessert? Here we go.
Let's see.
Let me guess. Balance it out with some devil's food cake.
That's going to be angel food. But yeah, that's funny. Devil's food. I'm going to write that down. All right. So anyway, normally people make this call when they're either on fire or their kid has a tumor or the plane is plummeting toward the earth.
I want a woman.
All right.
Chastity wasn't it. I'm ready to share my life with someone. I want to build a family.
Okay.
This topsy-turvy world, I don't know what's going
on. Hold
on.
Let me tell you about
gay
family.
Gay basketball
Hold on.
Players,
Hold
and
on.
I don't know. I want
Listen,
a traditional family.
They're all my creatures and my sons. And by the way, you can't have a family. Yeah.
Why?
Your seed's no good. I just deactivated it.
I mean, because of this phone?
Well, because I want a bunch of you guys ringing my phone, little yous ringing my phone off the hook.
Well, that seems
awfully
harsh.
Hey, can we get one of those Barbie Corvettes? Like, come on. This is for dying kids.
I thought the Jews' God was the vengeful one. No?
Just listen. The seed's no good, so the good news is you don't need a condom. The bad news is there can be no offspring. All right, I got to get back to Cook's career here. This is a head scratcher.
Fine. I just wanted to let you know that if maybe you see fit down the line to try and set me up again, because I would be interested to know who God's choice is for me, can she have bigger tits?
Yeah, okay, listen, I'm hanging up. There's tsunamis, we got tornadoes I'm cooking up over here, we got all sorts of stuff.
All right, I'll let you go. Hey, Jesus, one more question.
Yeah.
Want to have a catch?
Thank you. Thank you. That's powerful. It's good stuff.
This has been a wonderful reenactment.
I just want to say, Adam Carolla, was I nervous to work with Adam Carolla, the great Adam Carolla, to take the stage with him? Sure, I was. But he is so generous as a performer.
Yeah.
He creates a playground, and that's why I got into acting. The craft is so exhilarating when someone else is taking chances.
I'm like courageous.
He's just brave.
All right, bring it home, because
that's it.
Dr. Jeffrey's going to break in half.
These people lacking in faith, they don't take Jesus' setup. What are you doing? They don't go on Christian Mingle. In the meantime, feel this. Forget the nails and all that stuff. I was going to say crucifixion. I don't know. That seemed too harsh. But nails, and maybe in hindsight, that's even worse to say. But anyway, either way, taste the blaster. You're the creeps of the week. That's it.
Stamps.com. Save time for your small business. Skip the hassle of the post office. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or any package, and do it right off your computer and printer. And with Stamps.com, you get 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off of priority mail. We use it here. We use it at the other shop. We have the scale. We send stuff out. It's all we use. No wonder 700,000 small businesses use Stamps.com. Look, it's about time. It's about effort. It's about saving money. It's Stamps.com. And right now, special offer just for my listeners, 4-week trial plus postage and digital scale. Go to Stamps.com. Click on the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam at Stamps.com, and type in Adam and get all the deals they got.
Okay, we're back. More clips coming up for you. This one, Gio, has been requested by numerous listeners.
Too many to list. It's episode 1622 from July 2015. The episode was featuring Martin Short, Brad Thor, Matt Atchity, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. And this section is just Matt Atchity, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. Adam had some interviews scheduled by Matt Fondelier while he was on his way to tape Catch Contractor. And the Waze app, as he calls it, decided to join in.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, Waze is a GPS app on your phone. Adam has a lot of trouble with anything that involves electricity or technology. Adam actually called me to yell about Waze last week. So this is still an ongoing problem. But
there are several Waze bits that people are referencing. I believe this is the original. There may be one that predates this from the Allison era I'm not thinking of, but I'm pretty sure this is the first one.
From 2015, episode 1622. The Waze bit.
Luckily, thanks to Waze, of which Gary is a huge fan, I just popped in the address for here in Waze, and it took me off on a side street, and I circumvented it all.
Seems like only yesterday I was going to catch a contractor with the Waze system going, and the nice lady was interviewing me about the Paul Newman Racing documentary, and Brian will find it.
Didn't go well.
Well, Catch a Contractor, from where my house is to the West Valley and doing Waze and an 8 a.m. call time is total insanity. It's the 210, the 118, to the 5, the 5, the 1405, get off on the Slauson, cut off your Slauson, get back on the 118, then get off on Shoop and make a right on to Topanga. And then they start just fishing you down these roads because, again, it's 8 a.m. It's middle of the week.
And it's not just turn here, turn there. It's in 500 feet, turn here. In 200 feet, like at the countdown that it does.
Right. And Matt has lined up all the interviews I'm supposed to be doing stuck in traffic on my hour and 10-minute drive to the set of Catch a Contractor, but I can't shut the Waze chick off while I'm doing the interview, and the person I'm doing the interview can't hear it. They can't find it, Brian?
No, I got it.
It's a lot of intel coming at him that he's having to sift through in live time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing what?
You're doing. You got the way. Gary, ever get the ways, the follow up ways? Brian's got it.
I got it, but you're doing. You're doing
okay,
what?
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I imagine that.
Oh,
this
thanks
is
for
real,
having me, by the way.
My pleasure. So nice to talk to you. I imagine this has been a real passion project for you. What made you inspired to do something for Paul Newman?
Well, Paul was a guy I gave back to the community. Mm-hmm. He's a guy who didn't. Turn left on Flower Street just because it was convenient.
Turn right on
I'm saying
Alameda
he's the
Avenue.
Kind of guy who would have just gone. He gave back, and so because he gave back, I wanted to give something back as well.
I understand. Do you like classic cars better than modern cars? Is that your preference?
You'll arrive at the habit
because I know he raced a lot of those cars that you own now.
I'm sorry, you're talking about where?
Do you prefer the classic car over the modern car when it comes to racing?
Uh-huh. Well, obviously I do the vintage racing.
In 600 feet, turn right.
And, you know,
turn right on Fernando Boulevard.
You know, I did sort of take a right turn in my life and I started off thinking about, you know, I originally was all, you know, BMW M3s and a Lexus and stuff like that, but at a certain point
it
seemed like 800 years ago I took a right turn and started really focusing on the vintage
on
vintage
Glen
stuff.
Boulevard.
So it was a right turn for me.
In half a mile.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
right
it took about half
a
second really just to come up with that.
How much time did you spend on the Newman's Own, the salad dressings, the food,
in
that sort of thing? Was
feet.
That was that
turn
an important part of the
San
story,
Fernando
or do you focus
Road.
Mostly on cars?
What about popcorn?
Did you focus at all
turn
on the Newman's
on
Own
Fernando
aspect
Road.
Of his career, or do you focus mostly on racing?
He was a good guy. He's a
turn
good.
Left.
He was a
then
he was
turn
a,
left.
A,
on
I'm sorry. Is this, is this a bad time?
No,
to
no,
talk?
No. I'm fine.
I'd be happy
I like
to do
Paul
this later.
Newman. I like Paul Newman. He's good.
Turn right on San Fernando
Did you get
Road.
Into his personal life at all, his family life?
In a quarter of a mile. Turn
you know,
right on
I
Western
I live
Avenue.
My life a quarter of a mile at a time, and I turn – he made popcorn.
Turn left
you
on
know,
Hale Street.
I think I have everything I need. Thank you so much. This is really informative.
Turn left on
I don't
Hale
know
Street.
That this is going to – we're going to be able to publish this, but I will
turn
let
left
you
on
know.
Hale Street.
Thank you, Paul.
I'm sorry?
Thank you.
Thank you.
In 600 feet, turn right on Western Avenue, then turn right.
Hey, Gina, how'd that interview go? You get something good out of Adam?
You know, I don't know how I'm going to piece this together, but I think I'm going to change directions and say that I think he trips acid when he talks to you.
That's how every interview went on my way in. Gary, still got to get the long one, man. I swear I got some
him-
of the... Yeah, go ahead. Oh, you gave Brian... Oh, you're throwing Brian under the waves bus. Yeah. Gave you the long one.
Gave me the long one.
Oh, he's going to go find it. Now he's going to give you the high, hard one.
Yep.
All right. So.
Turn right on Western Avenue. Then turn right on Standard Avenue.
Uh-oh. ButcherBox. They deliver healthy, 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork directly to your door on a monthly basis. They got a new protein, wild Alaskan sockeye salmon, sustainably harvested from Bristol Bay, Alaska. The color tells you it's fresh, not factory farmed. All products are humanely raised, never given antibiotics or hormones. The taste is unbelievable. Free shipping anywhere in the U.S., except for Alaska and Hawaii. No commitment. Cancel easily anytime. This stuff is just the best. And they got a special offer. New subscribers get $20 off plus 2 pounds of free ground beef. Just had it last night. So good. 2 pounds of free ground beef for life. So as long as you subscribe, you get 2 pounds of free ground beef. ButcherBox.com. Enter the code Adam. Stuff is the best. We're all on the Vinny diet. This is part of it. ButcherBox.com. Enter Adam at checkout. Get the deal.
We're back. Chris and Gio here. Now, Gio, I'm sure you've heard the news about Bean from Kevin and Bean announcing that he's going to be departing that morning show at the end of the year to move to England. Now, one of the other hosts of that show, a newer host, is Jensen Karp, who maybe a lot of people won't exactly know who he is just by hearing his name, but he is one of those guys that Brian brings up all the time as the dude that knows everybody. He came on the show in 2016 to kind of tell his story and how he got to where he is, and it was a really great interview.
Yeah, actually, he quit his podcast, Get Up On This, which was quite popular. And I got the indication that it was he said it was because he was joining Kevin and Bean and he was be there full time. And that led me to believe that one of the guys was probably going to bail. And then we found out a few months later, indeed, that's what's happening. So his role, I'm assuming, will be expanded. I thought he was just kind of filling in for Ralph Garman's old role, but it seems like he may actually end up being a full co-host.
So here you go. From 2016, episode 1839, Jensen Karp on The Adam Carolla Show.
Jensen Karp is in studio. Book, Kanye West Owes Me $300 and Other True Stories from a White Rapper Who Almost Made It Big.
Yeah, right off the tongue.
I laugh because I, as a person who does this for a living, always stumble over that last part,
The
subtitle. And then anyone who's written a book realizes that when you make the rounds, they always screw up that part. Sometimes they transpose things. Brian, you know that part.
Yeah, the book was Shrinkage, Manhood, Marriage, and the Tumor That Tried to Kill Me. And it was like, Shrinkage, marrying the man. And
it's a totally different book.
It was a different book.
A decent book, though.
No, I was going to say, should have gone with that.
Yeah.
Right. And somebody's got to change. Either the announcer's got to get coached up or we got to stop with the subtitles. Here is, I just told Gary to grab it. Is it Eddie?
I believe it's Wang. He says it.
Eddie.
It's Eddie.
Yes,
I heard
that's
it pronounced.
What I'm asking.
Oh, Eddie Wang.
Yeah, Eddie Wang.
Huang,
or whatever. He's been on this show.
He's great.
He was on Mar's show and he wrote a book, and here's his intro, and you tell me how Bill does with this.
He's the host of Iceland's Wang's World and author of the new memoir, Double Cup Love, on the trial. The trail. Freudian slip there, Eddie. Of family. Family. Of the family feud, food, and broken hearts in China. Isn't there any fucking title that's short anymore? Eddie Wang.
They should have wrote it. Do it one more time here. Just now, it's not. Bill Maher's the most competent host on the planet. I mean, that guy mows through cue cards and he'll do a 90-minute show without a hiccup in it. But still, this is a bridge too far, and it's the publisher's fault, right?
Yeah, you've had the guy booked for a week at least.
Well, it's
familiarized.
Yeah, but no
from
one
the very beginning.
Can't do it. Like, what is it? Do it one more time, but then we'll figure out what it actually is.
He's the host
is.
Of Iceland's Wang's World and author of the new memoir, Double Cup Love, on the trial. The trail. Freudian slip there, Eddie. Of family. Family. Of the family feud. Food and broken hearts in China. Isn't there any fucking title that's short anymore?
All right. On the trial of family food.
You said trial.
I said trial. Well, because he said trial. That's why. On the trail of family. Yeah. On the trail of. Well, first off, 90% of books are on a trial or about a trial. Right. Not on a trail. But anyway, on the trail of family food and broken hearts in China. That's
half the first chapter.
That's all it was. Anyway, Eddie Wang, everybody, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I don't know why I'm doing this with my eyes right now. It seems racist, but sure. Yeah, go ahead. I was shocked. To me, the reason I put a subtitle in mine is that I don't want people to think I had 320 pages about why Kanye just owes me money.
No, I get it. You have to kind of, if Brian is writing a book and no one knows exactly why Brian's writing a book, he has to put in his tumor.
You were in the pool.
Jensen, especially because your story, as it's told in this book, which I read cover to cover and I loved.
Thank you.
Cannot be encapsulated in a title. There's so many individual anecdotes and stories and twists and turns. It'd be absurd to even try and wrap it up in a short title.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on.
Walk us through some of the more terrific stories.
Yeah, well, it basically chronicles my career as a rapper, which is super weird because I look like if the Verizon guy was like a hip rabbi. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't look like your normal rapper.
Right.
But it was something I had loved my whole life. And I grew up in 818. I grew up in the San Fernando Valley. Grew up in Woodland Hills. And no one around me was rapping. So it was something I wanted to do, and I became very good at it. And I was a pretty much LA's best battle rapper. And I entered a radio contest on the beat out here with the Baker Boys. And I ended up winning a battle competition for over 40 days.
The Baker Boys were a couple of Hispanic guys that we sort of knew back from the Kevin and Bean days.
This is that era, yeah.
Eric and Nick Vidal.
And you guys...
Mid-90s, late 90s?
Yeah, I was in about 97 to 99, around there.
And how does a rap battle
go down? So what are the rules?
You call in real life, it's, you know, you just two, it's like 8 Mile in real life.
Right.
But for this roll call, you would call in, and then they would play a beat, and then there would be a call and response. So it's like, who's on that line? And then you would have to implement your name in it. So I'm Hot Carl, and da-da-da-da-da, and your mom sucks. And
right.
then they would say, where are you calling from? And then I would have to somehow implement Woodland Hills or the Valley in it in the second part. But you have to make fun of the three other callers. And they're all like 15-year-olds on their phone. You don't know what they look like, so you can't talk about their teeth or their hair. You just have to be creative.
You can't pre-chamber a lot of stuff because if the guy's calling from Pacific Palisades, you wouldn't know that.
No, I'd be like, and you're
advance.
From Pittsburgh, and then you got called out.
You've just, right.
So you had to sort of be on your toes. I mean, you can have punchlines ready,
sure.
but you still had to fit it in right. And that was why it was hard. And so the biggest champion before me had 10 days. I got 43, which was nuts. I retired on my own to do finals at USC. And then I got $1 million record deal off the radio from Jimmy Iovine and Interscope Records.
From doing that.
I had a couple songs ready once I started to pop, and I turned those in as well. But that was, I got it because I was on the radio every day. No, there was no iPod, no satellite.
Right.
Yeah, so I was like keeping people hostage.
Who was the guy you turned down with Mac?
Yeah, Mac 10. I became like this radio phenomenon in L.A., especially because the Baker Boys kept describing me as like, he's a nerd, you know, like no one like, and I always sounded like this. Like I look like an accountant and I act like an accountant. And so I basically started to get all these calls from people. I was going to school for filmic writing and for like sitcom writing. And I got a call. My mother is like my publicist. Like even then she would just tell everyone what I'm doing. Just like. No reason. Just
Jewish,
like a Jewish mother
of course.
Yeah. And so she told this woman at a mailbox, and the woman goes, oh, my son's a rapper. And it was Mac 10, who's like this gangster rapper who used to perform with Ice Cube, and he's a big, big deal.
Yeah, no, he was on Loveline on MTV as a guest some years ago.
Yeah, he's an open gang member. He admits it.
Well, he's named after an assault rifle.
That's a good point. And so
real foresight by his parents.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got to wonder what came first.
Yeah, it's a chicken
naming
and egg
your
syndrome.
Kid after a machine pistol,
or him taking up the gangster
or him
lifestyle.
Taking up the gangster.
It's
lifestyle.
Like Bryce Harper was clearly going to be a baseball player. Yeah, yeah,
right.
Similar. And so he was very sweet and called my cell phone. He got a number through my mother, and he said, "Where are you?" And I said, "I'm at my parents' house in Woodland Hills." He said, "Give me the address." I gave it to him, which normally I shouldn't do. And he showed up, and he had a briefcase with $50,000 cash in it. He walked into my parents' house, like feet from where I watched Sesame Street, and put it on the table. And he was like, "You take this. This is just a bonus. It's not even. We're not even talking about your deal yet. You just take this to be exclusive to me." And I was a college student eating like ramen, and so I said no because I'd seen like Behind the Music enough to know that's
right.
a terrible idea.
Yeah.
And then we stayed friends, but I ended up taking a much larger deal at Interscope with Jimmy.
And. Couple things. You had the
I was
same.
A 19, by the way.
At that point.
Yeah.
I was going to say, had the same brain tumor Paul Bryan has, but you have it. Is it or similar? Or?
Very similar, except he's had a harder time. I have a brain tumor that is not growing or developing in my midbrain. Yours is not in the midbrain, right?
Must be nice.
Yeah.
How did you.
I am a real brat. Yeah. I'm really rubbing in your face.
How'd you find out about it?
This is going to freak people out, but it has nothing to do with why I found the brain tumors. I had a ringing in my ear, and it wouldn't go away for like 2 days. So I went, because I'm, again, Jewish, I went into the doctor, and he was like, oh, it's inflammation, no big deal. But then he said, well, because you had this, like, I could get you a coupon for a free brain scan. Like, you can just get it through insurance.
They have coupons?
Right.
Pretty much, yeah. And I was like, absolutely. I've never said no to a coupon. Never.
Right.
And so I took it, and then I was like joking around 2 days later when the nurse says, oh, he wants to talk to you. I said, put him through. She said, no, you got to come in. He's not able to talk on the phone. I was like, I can't come in. I'm too busy. And she goes, no, you're missing what I'm saying. You have to come. And my whole system closed down. But I have three tumors, which is the reason I wrote the book. Three tumors in my midbrain, and they don't grow. And that's how Brian and I know each other. We have we're in a weird brain tumor cult. I've been fine. I get brain scans every 6 months.
You're overdue, by the way. I just saw a doctor.
I am. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I am. Thank you.
Same doctor.
Yeah, same doctor.
And well, maybe it hasn't been issued a coupon.
That's a good point.
That's right. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for my Ralph's card to come through.
So how do you make your money now?
Yeah.
And what happened with the insanely promising rap career?
Yeah, well, I ended up recording tracks. They put so much money in. I recorded with Redman and DJ Quick and Fabolous and Maya and a young Kanye West and less impressive names like Sugar Ray. And so I did that, and they recorded this whole record for me. And then there's a weird sort of industry story, which is what the book is about, is that they didn't end up putting out the record at all. There's a lot of controversy and weird stuff because it's a very strange industry story where they put $800,000 into a record then walked away. And so I went back to kind of what I was doing. I had a tough time at 21 figuring out my dreams not coming true. And then I sort of dusted myself off, and now I'm a working comedy writer. Actually, no, David. I write the S piece. He's always brought in for if someone has cancer, he writes their speech.
Who? So when it comes to like rapping and freestyling and all that kind of stuff, Is it sort of like a comedian with a heckler, which is they have a couple of things chambered and they can also do a lot of improvising, but also if the person's heavy set, there's a couple things that are there, or you know, if the person is old or whatever it is.
In hip hop, though, it's a little, because I've done stand up as well, it's a little more critical. So when I was doing battle shows, I would do 4 or 5 songs up top, and then people were just there to see me battle anyway. And then I would call up whoever wants from the audience. But those people were at my last show. So if I call a fat guy a homeless Dom DeLuise, that rhymes with a lot of things. But the problem is they know I just said it to someone else.
Uh-huh.
And that'll be a problem because back then freestyle was the king of battling. You had to make it up on the spot. So no, I would have chambers in case if I knew I was going to like El Segundo to do a battle, I knew no one would go there. Or like if I was in San Francisco or whatever, I knew I wouldn't have doubles. But if I was still in LA, I had to come up with different ones every time.
Who are the guys that we would have heard of that are very good at that we might not know?
Very little. They don't go on, like me, they don't go on to do very much in written music. But you know, M was a great battler. He came in second here in the LA Rap Olympics before anyone knew who he was. Eminem. He was really good. Yeah, Eminem was great. And there's some guys here or there. I mean, again, really technical, obscure names. But a guy named Jin got famous on television. He ended up signing a deal at Universal and Rough Riders, but didn't release anything that you'd know. I mean, guys have a certain talent. It's kind of like, you know what? It's kind of like heckler. It's like crowd work.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, oh, that guy's great at crowd work, but he doesn't necessarily do great stand-up, or he hasn't written a great movie. It's a certain technical skill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In a
like
way,
improv comedy.
Yeah,
but it's like if you want to be if you want to join Saturday Night Live, mm-hmm. better to be a Dana Carvey with a whole bunch of different voices and characters and stuff like that. Set stuff better to be better. Daryl Hammond mm-hmm. or something. You know, Daryl. When you meet Daryl Hammond, he's a very quiet, almost morose guy.
Chris Kattan.
I know Mike does Monkey Boy and stuff like that, but I don't think of him as doing great impressions. Okay, but what I'm saying is like Daryl Hammond is spot on when he does his impressions. But when you're up on stage with him, he doesn't spring to life as Daryl Hammond. There's not a lot of Daryl Hammond there.
I don't know if you read his memoir. Did you read his memoir?
Well, I'm scared because
that's a character in its own.
He's told me the cruise ship story.
Oh, Lord.
The Disney cruise ship story.
They're all rough.
And he told me some really rough stories. And he's in person, one of the saddest, most morose people you've ever met in your life. Like, there's literally just a wave of melancholy that's over him.
I'm out.
But you point him toward doing Bill Clinton or Donald Trump, and he hits it out of the ballpark.
Yeah.
So in a weird way, maybe that's sort of battle rap versus writing and executing.
In the book, I compare it to Chris Rock a lot. You know, Chris has kind of struggled in writing film. You know, like he doesn't want to talk about head of state, clearly. But I mean, like you would think someone like him or Louis would just nail writing a screenplay, but that's not. That hasn't been the case.
Well, Chris has a lot of writers, too, right?
Yeah, but movie-wise, like, as far as, like, you know, he hasn't really... You would think he's pretty much the best, in my opinion, the best comedian of all time.
Yeah, but it doesn't translate into that long-form world. Yeah.
Am I the only one who liked Top 5?
I liked it.
I liked it. It was a weird thing in that I think people liked it more than they maybe should have. There's a couple of weird, kind of weird bumpy spots in it, like when they're at the strip club with Seinfeld or whatever it was that seems weird, but
we can all agree it was above average. It was good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good
DMX cameo.
We can all
cameo.
We can all agree that. Yeah.
Speaking of which, Jensen, white guys using the N-word. Is there any context?
There's no. I don't even like it when Latino rappers say the N-word because, like, Fat Joe will say it or Be Real from Cypress Hill. That's not even allowed. I grew up in an affluent area. My parents, my dad was a car salesman. My mother was in advertising for like junk mail. I was not raised with real privilege, but I knew even listening to Public Enemy or Paris or any of these sort of rappers that were talking about what's going on in the streets, I knew not to touch it. I knew I could love it and love the art form and be passionate, even relate to the angst, but you can't reappropriate a culture that's based on struggles of culture you're not. So I knew even at 11, like a weird small little pitchfork critic, I knew what I could and couldn't touch. And I've always known that. And the N-word has always been off limits. It's not even a jokey freestyle thing. Like that's for like racist Massachusetts college students that are are wasted that are free selling with their friends in college. Yeah,
I mean, what?
and speaking of Boston, October 7th, we'll see you there.
How's Eminem do with the N word?
Well, he got caught once. They released a freestyle from when he was younger, and that tape had it on there. And other than that, he's never said it.
But you know, let's give him let's grandfather him in.
Okay,
with the old stuff, because when I'm telling you, when I was a kid, I'd get dropped off at the Boyd brother house, and they were as black as they got, and it was 2 days nonstop. This in the 70s of them and every human being in the neighborhood calling each other nigger. That's all it was.
Well, not hard ER, though.
Yeah, he went hard
you
with the
hard, R. You went hard with
the R. And nigger.
Oh, they would use the hard ER.
That's, well, probably 1975 or something. Yeah, and that's what they did.
Yeah.
It's also, it's kind of weird that we do the is okay, but the ER. I mean, at a certain point, we'd have difficulty explaining to another culture from a different planet exactly why an ER is insanely.
Or did you say E?
But that's what. That's all they did.
Yeah.
That's all they did. And at a certain point, it flew out of my mouth, too, because I was right in the middle of that's all they did.
Yeah. Was it like a record scratch?
It was. It was a pickup football game. I put a little shake and bake on one of them and screamed how they like me now. And it was. They all paused, and then they all looked at each other, and one that started laughing real hard because they understood what
it was absurd.
There was a context to it, but the point is like if Eminem is going to be in the midst of that, in the midst of that world, and that's all that's coming at him, I'll give my grandfathered in a pass. But so they found an old recording of him,
and no one cared.
I don't think so.
Also, like Eminem isn't like it's different for me. I grew up, you know, in sort of an area where like you know the girls in my high school got their noses done when they turned 16. I mean, I grew up in a place where like if I said it, it's pretty racist. Mm-hmm. M grew up in a completely different culture and in a different scene, and that was our biggest difference. Even though we were both sort of pop culture battle guys, our biggest difference was our background.
So the tumor's good.
Yeah.
The book is Kanye.
It's also good.
Tell me that.
Thank you.
I'll tell you. Let me tease it. But tell us why Kanye West owes you $300.
Well, I was.
Hold
given,
on.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm teasing.
Okay.
Dollar Shave Club. Now I'm in a better mood. You want to feel and smell your best and never go to the store. They deliver everything I need right to my door. Keep me fully stocked so I don't run out. You know, you guys. I've been saying this for a million years. Buying tweezers, buying nail clippers, by five. Mm-hmm. Never
spread
look
around.
For them.
Spread
never
around.
Look for them. Never have to go to the store and wait in line for a $4 item. Have it come to your door, man. They'll take care of you head to toe. They got a new program that automatically keeps you stocked up, determines what you want, when you want it, and they'll just show up at your door. And the most precious thing you have is time, people. So, I use their toothpaste now, which is great. Always use their razors. They have their handsome discount, and the more you buy, the more you save. It's Dollar Shave Club, right, Dawson?
And right now, they got a bunch of starter sets you can try for just $5, like their oral care kit. After that, the restock box ships regular-sized products at regular price. So what are you waiting for? Get your starter set for just $5 right now at dollarshaveclub.com/Adam. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Adam.
All right, we're back. Chris and Gio here with another super, ultra, mega, classic clip. I will never forget this day, Gio. This was a live show that we did back in 2013 at a restaurant that Adam used to own, Amalfi. We used to go there every week to do live podcasts, and we had a really great audience that would come in every week. And for this particular episode, we decided to bring in Elliot Gould.
Without having previously guested on the show, this is Adam Carolla Show 1024, Elliot Gould, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. It's from February 2013. Now, if Elliot had probably came in studio first, this probably would have been a lot different, or if he'd just been booked in studio and Adam Ray or somebody else had been booked for this episode, it would have gone a lot different. But had that happened, we wouldn't have these choice drops that came from this very bizarre interaction that Adam has on stage with a mostly quiet Elliot, who chimes in occasionally. And in this section, we have a lot of the drops that are famous. Adam will now do that reenactment bit where Brian will play the drops and Adam will just say stuff. The only other person they did that with was Isaac Hayes with his insane morning show interview shortly before he died, so it's a little creepy. But this is the source of all those drops when they go, let's ask Elliot Gould what he thinks. This is where it comes from.
You know, women, you guys never bring up that part. You know, it's a lot of complaints about, well, we get 70 cents to your dollar, and we're held back, and we got hormonal issues, and, you know, but what about the part where we die almost a decade before you do? Anyone ever want to bring that up? That's a perk. That's a perk to having ovaries, is it not? The extra 10 years you get to spend on the fucking planet spending our money? Not bad, right?
Yeah.
Pretty good perk.
We get all the breaks.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it rarely comes up. You get a break on your insurance, and you live an extra seven, eight years or something. It's not bad. I have a theory about that.
Which is?
That's a little insulting.
But that's never stopped you before.
Well.
Just a little?
I'm up on stage burning calories, and my wife right now is at home.
Oh. Like in suspended animation.
I'll be in Denver over the weekend burning some calories. My wife's kind of hanging with the kids right
like
now.
You have a certain amount of life force and you're just whipping through yours faster.
Yeah, yeah. Stress. You know what I mean? Too much travel, too many early mornings, too many early call times for the great Elliot Gould. This is excellent for the people that are just listening in their cars right now. Does anyone believe me? I could have just said we had Willie Nelson up here, and they'd be like, yeah, that's cool. All right. Yeah. So I think you burn yourself out. I think guys, I think they burn themselves out.
Right.
I don't know. There's a biological thing. I think guys, and then you end up doing things like smoking and drinking and stuff like that.
Well,
that
we just need to find some really lazy, sedentary guys and find out how long they live.
Oh, we got him, my dad.
How's he doing?
He's 81 and he's still going strong.
Hell
so,
yeah.
Yeah. No, I explained to my dad in as kind of terms as I could the other day that he was like a kind of a crappy car but with almost no mileage on it. You know what I mean? Like if you took a Chevy Chevette and just put it up on blocks in your garage in 1973. It's still a piece of shit, but it's brand new.
It's pristine.
He still has that new human smell. Yeah, he's not a good model. You know, he's not a Ferrari or a Corvette. He's a shitty model that's almost brand new because he's never been driven like in the snow.
How'd he take that news?
I told him he was. I sort of told him he was just low mileage, like not a lot of days on the roof working out in the sun, not a lot of super stressful business meetings, not a lot of burning the midnight oil. You know, he's kind of
he's like veal.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know what he's like? He's like slippers. You put them on, but you don't go jogging in them. You don't wear them outside. You don't run in them. They never see the rain. They're still shoes. You can get some mileage on them. Just not tough miles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not running on, you're not, no trail mileage on slippers. That's all carpeted miles.
Right.
My dad's been on nothing but carpeting his whole life. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, we got pictures? Oh, there's my dad. There he is, yeah. Plays his trumpet, walks around in slippers. Elliot, what do you think of this? How do you feel? How's your health? Talking to the mic.
My health is fine, thank you.
You good?
Yeah.
You good?
The water was not open, so nothing spilled.
Yes, I know. Would you like some water?
No, thank you.
Would you like some mangria?
I'll try it.
You'll try mangria? That's good. We got to get him out of his shell. By the way...
Do you think I'm in a shell?
Yeah.
You're wrong.
Oh, really?
I'm out of the shell.
Oh, you're out? Oh, this is you out?
This is me, yeah.
Wow. I've seen you be so dynamic.
I'm an actor.
Oh, that's it. That's. But what? Now, that's a good point. Here, Mr. Gould, there, use your hand there and taste some of my signature mangria. This is going to get you into a shell?
No, there's no shells for this.
Let's talk about this acting for a moment.
You want to talk some more?
Yeah. Even more than this, yeah. Did you watch the Oscars?
Yes.
And I noticed that a lot of the actors didn't seem to want to go to rehearsal.
I don't know about rehearsal. Oh, you mean when they were dancing?
No, when not. Well, when they were dancing a little bit, but when they do the Oscars, they go, hey, could you come out on Thursday and do like a rehearsal where you read the teleprompter and do that? And all the actors just go,
the presenters.
Fuck it. Yeah.
I don't know that that's true. I've done the awards several times.
Oh, let's talk about that.
We just did.
Oh, okay. That's over.
Let's talk about it again.
What?
When you were asked to present at the Academy Awards, did they ask you to come for a run through?
Of course.
Oh, okay. Did you show up?
Yes, I did.
That's you. That's what I'm saying.
I would say most, if not everyone, shows up. Do you know something that I don't know?
I don't think the guys from the X-Men showed up.
Avengers?
Yeah, and I think some of the people show up and they read that teleprompter and they stumble through it, and clearly there was not a rehearsal process with them. And I think when you say to Jennifer Lopez, we need you here on Wednesday to rehearse, she goes, her publicist says, I can't be there until Sunday afternoon. I'm in New York. Sorry. It's either this way or no way. What do you think of that? You showed up and rehearsed.
You went from the four guys from the Avengers to Jennifer Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was fair to Jennifer Lopez. And as far as the four guys from the Avengers, who gives a shit?
I don't.
The main thing is working.
I'm a viewer and I give a shit because I don't want to see them fumble and stumble through their presentation.
Yes, you do.
Oh, you're probably right. It's more fun. But the point is, okay, so what was the schedule? Unless there's anyone else in this room that's presented at the Oscars. Just three. Okay, so, but I got Elliot on stage, so I'm going to talk to him. What is the schedule then for presenting at the Oscars? How did it work the last time you did it?
Well, that was some time ago, but, you know, we'd have to come in before the day of the show.
Right.
Work with the director, work with the cameras, work with the stage managers, so as we would have an idea of what was going on.
And do you remember who you were out there with or what you presented last time you did it?
Well, yeah, I was with Isabella Gianni, mm-hmm. and we presented the best editing. To Verna Fields, who did Jaws.
Oh, he did Jaws?
She did Jaws. And when, at that point, the NCAA championship game was on at the same time as the Academy Awards, and I heard the score, and it was Indiana 86 and Michigan 68. And so when they said the winner is, I announced the score. and they haven't had me back since.
So that was not in the rehearsal,
obviously. I think that's fine.
Now, how many Oscars have you attended in general?
Perhaps four.
Four?
Perhaps four, yes.
Could be as many as five and as little as three.
Four seems
four, right. Four's good?
Four seems right.
Yeah. And biggest star who's not with us anymore that you met or hung out with?
Sat me next to John Wayne.
I don't know that name, and my last name is Wayne, okay? How's it feel, douche? How was the Duke? What was he like?
Very nice.
Really? And this was, how long then after that did he pass away?
I don't know. I don't count.
Yeah, stupid question. You wouldn't know that. No one would have that just at their fingertips. You know what I mean?
I met him when I was three.
Really?
Yeah, because he lived in Newport Beach had spent time there.
Howdy, little Jew.
The story I heard was something like that, but it was little girl.
Maybe it was cleaned up. Yeah.
So I was in this men's store at ease, and my parents were there too, but like I was over here and they were over here, and then he came up and was like, oh, you're a cute little girl, in the John Wayne voice, you know, and mm-hmm. was talking to me, and then my dad was like, oh, you know, totally starstruck, and came over and like, oh, you know, I'm the father of that cute little girl. I think John Wayne cared not at all about my dad.
He was one of the first guys that everyone figured out they could do an impression of.
Yes.
And thus, everyone did John Wayne, even people who couldn't do impressions.
He was walking before walking.
Yeah, and then there was, I'm going to work out the order one of these days of Jimmy Cagney was probably number one of the guys that people did impressions of, or maybe they did of Caesar, but there's no recorded evidence of that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no. When you said Caesar, I thought you were talking about Edward G. Robinson.
Did he play Caesar?
Little Caesar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Was he in White Heat? Yeah. So Edward G. Robinson, Jimmy Cagney. Then there was, maybe W.C. Fields. I'm going to work this out. It might take a decade or so. Who's the number?
Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart. Who's the number one female that, and then Ron Reagan and guys like that. But who do you think the number one female?
Mae West.
Mae West. Oh, that's a good one. This guy's on. Please tell me you know who Mae West is. Do you know who Mae West is?
I've heard it.
All right. Just know. I don't know. Randy West. You know Randy West at all? Okay, sorry. Yeah. All right, Mae West. Yeah. Ellie Gould.
Betty Davis.
Betty Davis. Yeah. Who? Catherine Hepburn. All right. This is boring now. I brought it up, and I'm bored with it. All right. Should we do one more question, maybe get some news and things like that? Mm-hmm. And by the way, the movie... Just tell us a little about this movie. I'm jumping around a lot, but
don't you know anything about it?
It's in theaters. I know, and DirecTV Cinema March 22nd.
That's all I have. Yeah.
My gut is that it's about a young woman uprooted from the San Fernando Valley into the whirlwind of downtown LA. I mean, but that's just my gut.
I think you'll love it.
I have a feeling about
Sarah.
Movie.
Sarah Rue is the girl. She plays my daughter, and she's mm-hmm. quite wonderful.
She's a talented... Is she thin now?
She just had a baby, so I don't know what she looks like now.
Uh-huh. I feel like the chicks that have the baby and then snap back in the shape is no big deal anymore because everyone seems to be doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, how do they do it?
I don't know, but they just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no big whoop anymore. And Sarah Rue was from a TV show that was called...
Dancing with the Stars?
Dancing with the Stars. No. Men and women love underwear. I'm wearing my Tommy Johns right now. I normally wear them in the pool in the morning, but I was up before the kids were up. I didn't want to traumatize the kids with my nature.
Thank you.
But
on behalf of them.
So this morning,
are you kidding me?
I went in without the Tommy Johns and then slipped right into the Tommy Johns as soon as I got out of the swimming pool.
Daddy, stop talking.
Both men and women's underwear. They got the no wedgie guarantee. Comfortable stay put waistbands, fabrics that are so soft they move with you. Dress shirts, undershirts. I was just wearing my dress shirt on the highest rated Jimmy Kimmel episode in the last 3 months or something like
coincidence?
That.
Coincidence?
Well, look, it wasn't all me. There was some Lady Gaga probably pulled some eyeballs onto that
Lady
show.
Lady who?
No, no, no.
She's a pop singer.
Pop singer? I'm not really into pop music.
Yeah, I don't like popular music.
Most of her fans don't stay up late, but there probably were a few.
Okay. I'll look her up.
Anyway, dress shirts
to you both.
And undershirts. Yes. New air collection for the ladies. Quick drying, antimicrobial fabric, no visible panty line, guarantee. All backed by the best pair you'll ever wear. Or it's free. Guarantee, right, Dawson?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam now and get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
Well, there you go. Elliot Gould on the Adam Carolla Show doing his infamous interview. First off, that interview is so iconic in the Adam Carolla Show history that it made the 2000 podcast song.
And that's an amazing song. And if you want to hear this full episode, Podcast One Premium, you can get access to the entire archive and you can listen to the entire running time of Elliot not really participating.
Yeah. I remember Elliot actually taking another interview after that show and they asked him about what happened with the Adam Carolla podcast that you did. And he was a lot more lively in this one. And he said, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. So he was kind of, he just panicked and he froze up.
Yeah. That's why, again, live show, maybe not the best option for our new guest.
You think he probably thought he was just doing a little one-on-one interview. And then he comes in and there's a huge audience and he has to kind of perform. And he didn't really know what this was because it was still kind of a new concept, the live podcast back then. So. Sorry, Elliot, but at the same time, thank you for the
wonderful
chops.
You did your best.
Yes. all right. Now, Gio, this next clip that we're playing holds a very special place in my heart. So, as I tweeted last week, this this month is my 9-year anniversary for being a part of the Adam Carolla Show. It's been insane.
Last month was my 10th anniversary, so.
All right, don't be a one-upper, like I said before. the very first time that I really got airtime on the Carolla Show was this particular episode in 2012. What happened was Ben Folds was supposed to come in. Every time he comes in, we like to have a piano in, so I always brought in a keyboard that I had to borrow from a friend, saying, Ben Folds will be here. I'll have him sign it for you. I just need a keyboard. Can you give it for me? He gives me his keyboard. I bring it in to work. We set it all up. We do the sound tests and everything, the sound checks. And when we're doing the sound check, Dawson says, play something. I play Brick because I know how to play Brick on the keyboards. So about 20 seconds after the sound check, someone pops their head into the studio and goes, Ben Folds has food poisoning. He's not coming in. And Mike Lynch decides, hey, why don't you stick around and just open with Ben Folds as a joke.
It's a hilarious episode. It gets crazy. It's Adam Carolla Show 829 from May of 2012, featuring Teresa Strasser, she's the guest, Chris Loxamana, yourself, Allison Rosen, and Brian Bishop. And this is from the opening. So Adam explains what happened. You play a little Brick. You tell one of your best stories on air about a road trip and a bus. And then Teresa's in the mix. It's really good. It's a really great episode. And again, if you want to hear this full thing, Podcast One Premium, I highly recommend it.
Let's check it out.
I am Adam Carolla. That is Allison Rosen.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
And Bald Brian.
How about you leave the joking to Adam?
And Teresa Strasser.
Hey, Adam.
And Ben Folds joining us in studio. Yeah, Ben got some kind of food poisoning and couldn't make it in, and we'd set up the keyboards and done all this work. It was like, we're fucking having keyboards in this. So Chris Maxpata is sitting there. He's on top of the keyboards.
Pleasure to meet you, Adam.
Good to see you, brother.
That was really good.
And he can play a few things.
That's all I know, actually, but we'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a little expectation when it's like, let's get the Asian and throw him in front of the Irish and let him go to town.
Do you feel the pressure of that?
Mm-hmm.
I do. I'm terrified.
What can't you guys use ivory for? Do you know what I mean? You ever think about that as an Asian? I mean, you can get a boner. You can play beautiful music.
You can make an abacus.
There's so much. I feel like you guys use
it's
the elephant
buffalo.
Like we used the buffalo. Like our American Indians used the buffalo. Mm-hmm. Every part of the elephant.
Now, from whence do your people hail?
What
country?
What hellhole are you from, son?
Well, I was born here, but I'm Filipino.
Oh, I knew it. Troublemaker.
I was born here.
Chris traveled this land in a school bus that had been hollowed out for homoeroticism, right?
Yeah.
How did that go, and how old were you?
I was 19 or 20. And
could you play the piano while you talk, please?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was 19 or 20.
Uh-huh.
And some friends of mine wanted to go on a road trip.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw a school bus and decided to buy it.
How about leaving the jokes to Adam?
Well, nothing's funny so far. So how... Does my mic sound okay, Dawson? Why does it always sound weird to me? So you guys all bought a school bus, like old school Laidlaw style, like how many seater?
It was like a medium bus. Like not everyone. It's not a short bus, but not one of those big ones either.
Right.
It's right in between.
Mm-hmm.
There's 16 of us. We gutted the whole thing, and just put carpets and bean bags.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took it across the country. Mm-hmm. And the worst part was it maxed out at like 35, 40 miles mm-hmm. an hour because of the governor.
You made a rapist van out of a school bus. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there were windows.
What was the gender mix?
It was 16 guys. And zero girls.
I told you it was gay.
Wow.
Then put in a jizz scupper so it wouldn't overflow. So, and then you guys just set sail for where?
We did the perimeter. So we went from here down to like the south, like Miami,
mm-hmm.
just through the whole south up to New York, and then through the top through Seattle.
So
we didn't really do that.
And how long did it take?
A little over a month.
It's kind of like one of those Visa commercials, you know, where that's like, oh, me and my buddies, except for there's never any drugs or booze or chicks or anything involved.
We tried to get it sponsored. We actually, MTV was going to pimp our bus out, but contrary to what the show looks like, it actually takes like 9 to 10 months to pimp a car out.
Right.
So we couldn't do it because we wanted to be able to do it in the summer.
You guys just slept in the bus.
Yeah, yeah. We two people would drive. We'd sleep throughout the night.
What would you do for money, or did everyone just save up?
We saved. So, but the bus is about we each paid like $200 for it, and then it was pretty cheap. Mm-hmm. And then we registered it as an RV, and then we just paid for gas. But then the sweet part was, in Seattle, someone hit us. Someone crashed into us and knocked us into a ditch and totaled our bus. No one got hurt. But,
well, you've pointed out, Adam, that nothing is safer than a school bus because we care about our kids.
That's right. No seatbelts, no headrest, no nothing.
No one got hurt. It was funny because we were just coming back from Dairy Queen.
Mm-hmm.
And we
all 16 of you.
Yeah.
we were all just drinking our milkshakes and eating our ice cream.
You're the guys I get behind in the drive-thru when I'm just fucking getting a Diet Coke. And it's like, oh, fuck. The guy keeps still ordering. How many people are in that bus?
Now, I picture you having 8 milkshakes and each of you drinking one, you know, out of 2 straws per milkshake.
Mm.
No, but that would have saved us some money. We didn't think of that.
So you get hit, and is the bus totaled?
Yeah, it's totaled. It causes huge traffic jam. We make front page paper in a Tacoma. Mm-hmm. And
gay hippies block traffic.
Sorry. We even like went to the liquor store and bought all the papers, and people were actually mad at us because we caused this huge traffic jam.
Right.
But the insurance company, I guess it looks really bad when someone hits a school bus, so they paid us a lot of money. So actually the trip was pretty much free.
Wow.
At the end of it,
And that was the end. That was the last leg.
Yeah, and then we just flew home from there. They paid for our flights, and we just flew home.
And were your parents cool with this?
Yeah, totally cool with it.
That means they don't like you. See, because your parents are, you know, there's certain things they can be cool with, and then there's other get the fuck out of the house things. I think they're not supposed to be cool with this. I'm trying to think. Would anybody?
Think about it, though. Just guys. Historical, seen the country, school bus.
Yeah.
We were pretty young, too.
We weren't old enough to, like going to bars or anything like that.
So. Did you take away life lessons, like eat, pray, love style?
Yeah, absolutely. We got a little appetizer of each city. We stayed in each city for like a day or two. So
And always sleeping on the bus?
Yeah. Well, not always. Sometimes we slept in people's houses.
Can you play a little piano when you talk?
Sometimes we slept in people's houses.
Like people you knew along the way, like the guy's got an uncle that's out in Chicago.
In Lowell, Massachusetts, our bus broke down and these guys came up to us and were like, oh, where are you from? And we said, oh, we're from Orange County.
This is the spoken word part of the song.
This was...
He said play.
Said play.
How many times?
Yeah.
This is during the show when the OC was on, so like, oh, you're from the OC, like,
oh yeah,
just like the show. And they called their wives and like, you would not believe who's here right now. They're from Orange County. And they threw a party for us, and
but they're ethnic.
And then one of the guys at the party was like, he worked on buses, so he fixed our bus for us.
So yeah, I always used to answer, where are you from? Jellystone Park. Wow, Yogi and Boo Boo are from that. I know him well. Would you like me to pass along anything before I head back? Talk to Mr. Ranger for you if you like. Oh, come on in. This is awesome.
You would do that for me?
Absolutely. All right. I have much to share. And, oh, boy. I got a million things. Something to do with the book. Something to do with the kids. A million one things. We'll get Ben Folds back in here real soon. Chris, you can tinkle away. How about a little Father's Day music? I want to talk Man Great here for a second. 100% cast iron. 100%
Chris Father's Day music.
100% made in America. Steakhouse quality grilling right in your own backyard. No flare-ups. No more dry meat. Guaranteed. $20. I mean, this thing is just a bad mamma jamma. It's like an engine block worth of iron for $20. There has to be more than $20 worth of Detroit iron in that thing.
I got this for my husband one Father's Day, and he uses it.
All right, so Gio, you know that I was just terrified being in the studio with that piano. One, because I don't even play the piano. My main instrument's the guitar, but I had to do what I could do. And
a man of many talents.
And you know what? Why I knew that I think I did a great job was because at the break,
I was already packing the keyboard up and I was ready to go. And Adam says, where are you going? You should stick around. What are you doing? And he had me stay in for the whole episode. And
you guys should do this again.
I'd like to, but I took it as a compliment. And I remember this episode is also iconic because it was the very first time that the back of Not Taco Bell material was discussed. The Adam Carolla is just like Jesus. He's a carpenter, but he doesn't gouge the elderly.
Yeah.
Joke. And we are all arguing about it.
Yeah. It's a great episode. Again, happy anniversary, Chris. The show wouldn't be the same without you.
Appreciate that. I feel that way about you. And sorry I didn't wish you a happy 10th anniversary.
It's not really my 10th. I've been helping since the morning show, so who knows?
I know. You're the same age as the Adam Carolla show. I'll just say that. Now, Gio, this next clip also holds a special place in our hearts because, as all of you heard on the Adam Carolla show this week, we talked about Art Alexakis, and we had a news story about him. And Adam mentioned that he has the most insane story, the most insane journey to get where he was with his band, Everclear. Art came in 2013 to tell Adam this infamous story.
His first visit on the podcast, Adam Carolla Show 1181, Art Alexakis, Noel Bitterman, which I believe was the CEO of Ashley Madison, who's not in studio for this portion, Allison Rosen and Brian Bishop, October 2013. At this point, it had been about 7 years since Adam had spoken to Art on air. The last time was in December 2006 on the morning show, and then he had over 8 appearances on Loveline. He was just a guest who would appear on Adam's show all the time, and it just stopped after the morning show, probably because the band was taking a little break or something. But now Art comes in studio. He tells his whole journey, his upbringing, all the stuff that Adam was referencing. It's a classic visit, and it goes a little something like this.
The Adam Carolla Show honors journalistic excellence with another great moment in local news.
Isabel is 10 years old, a fourth grader. She said she was bullied 2 years ago at a different school.
I didn't fit in very well because I was half black, so they would tease me on my hair, and I was very scared to even wear a ponytail.
That's the reason that October is Anti-Bullying Month. Awareness, so that young children like Isabel won't be victims.
They never really physically hurt me, but it just felt like they were hurting my feelings a lot.
The spirit of Murrow and Cronkite live on. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
It's now at the point, it's so sad, but I have twins and I hope they get bullied just enough, like a little. I'm so scared that they're going to have nothing, like never skin knee, never hurt feeling, and they're just going to get their adult life and never have a callus built up or any intestinal fortitude or any grit at all.
Would you hope that they get bullied a little bit or bully a little bit?
I would like them to get bullied a little bit.
That's a waste of my time.
I'd like them to get, you know, I don't want to go like Carrie style with my daughter, you know, pig's blood and everything.
Yeah, that's
a little bit. Art, good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you.
Art,
so you got kids? How old are your twins now?
They're 7 years old.
I've got a 6-year-old.
And
I had another baby.
My son said he was bullied because he was talking to another kid, and that kid put his finger in his own ears, and that my son was bullied because a kid was not listening to what he was saying. Like, literally, my son was talking, and the kid went like, yada, 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 and put his fingers in his own ears, and my son took that as being bullied.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're sensitive now, huh?
The sticks and stones thing doesn't work anymore.
Not at all.
It's all about the names.
You know, I think it's kind of indicative. It's weird because, like, I have a 21-year-old, and I raised her very differently than I'm raising my 6-year-old.
How?
Well, one thing is spanking. I spanked my 21-year-old when she was between 2 and 5, and I read all the books and stuff on it, and basically we decided that we would spank only if she was in danger of endangering herself or endangering someone else. So when she kicked the puppy, which was actually hilarious, but she kicked the puppy, she got a spanking.
Right.
And when she threw the softball at her mom and knocked her out, like literally knocked her
really?
Out.
Really?
Yeah, and then
strong
I'm walking
child.
Around with her.
Jack's got an arm.
Oh, I know, huh? And then walking around. Then later she started throwing like a girl. Where did it come from?
Wow.
Where did it go? I know. But anyway, I walk around with her mom for 2 weeks, and everyone's looking at me like I punched her. you know, because she had a shiner. Then one time she ran out into the middle of a boulevard and was like...
Spanked her.
Yeah, she got spanking. At home, I followed all the rules. This one now, if I spank this one's so stubborn and so full of fire, I'd be beating her with a stick like a piñata, you know? I mean, seriously. And I wouldn't... She wouldn't give in to me unless I broke her spirit, and I don't want to do that. I want, like you said, I want my kid to like experience that kind of experience, like being bullied, because I think it makes you tougher and it makes you learn from it.
Well, at least
I'm assuming that's what you meant.
I meant losing disappointment. The feeling of, I'm going to make that person wish they had picked me on their team one day kind of thing, you know. Just that anxiety of having to ask somebody out to the prom or to the date and maybe getting turned down to the prom or to the date. Just all those little life setbacks that we've all experienced that anybody, especially someone who's in a band – or who did stand-up comedy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you had to have many a night and many audition and many a episode where someone said, pack it up.
I think anyone in show business has some of that, because the whole thing is that you have the drive to prove you want to be a little bit more elevated than other people. You have a drive to prove something to someone.
We were talking about Jimmy earlier. He got shit-canned from the first, I don't know, four or five radio stations he was on, you know?
You don't give up. But that's the whole thing. You get your ass kicked in life. And the people that win, and I'm not talking like it's a competition, but if you want to win in your own life, you pick yourself back up and you fucking get in there and keep doing it. Do what you believe.
By the way, One Night with Everclear, it's October 14th at the Pasadena Playhouse.
I won't use bad words.
8 p.m. Portion of proceeds are going to Theatrical Diversity Project, and tickets available at everclearonline.com. You can go to everclearonline.com, by the way. That's their website. Well, I mean, you come from a lot of adversity, as you sing about in your songs, and we've talked about many times on Loveline. But I don't know if people who are listening now know your full backstory. So paint the picture, would you, Art? I always enjoy it.
You always enjoy it.
It's worse than my adversity. Background. Yes.
Yeah, so you feel pretty good about it. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
I got it. Okay, mm-hmm. That's cool. I was born in Santa Monica, California, to a very twisted couple. I was the youngest of five children. My mom and dad were kind of like a poor white trash version of Ricky and Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's Greek, and he talks in a big accent and very angry and cheated. He would have loved Ashley Madison.
He
would have fucked that up big time.
Where is she? I bang her, too. No, she's not.
Totally.
Dad, she's not a person. I'll fuck her in the ass. No, Dad, she's not a human. No.
So you know my dad.
Yeah.
Awesome. Anyway, they broke up when I was about 5 or 6. Dad had the chance to all he had to do is sign a paper – and my mom would have been able to take over the two houses that we owned in Redondo Beach. And it was a front house and a back house. We rented out the back house, paid for the front house. So his kids would have had a place to live and in a nice neighborhood with good schools, and he wouldn't sign it.
Because he was pissed at your mom about the divorce or whatever?
He said, fuck you, bitch, in front of like the whole office of real estate people, and said, just shows you that you need me. And then he gets in his car and drives away.
Wow.
So I like when...
That's my dad.
I like when
it's
dude...
Awesome.
There's a lot of dudes out there that have a lot of retarded conviction. Like pride. Like they're prideful, but it's because they got busted cheating a whole bunch of times. And then somebody wants a divorce. And then, but they have pride and they're not going to give their kids the home to live in or whatever. But it's weird because...
Is it really pride?
Stupid pride.
Well, they think it's pride.
Ego.
They call it pride, or they call it whatever. Chutzpah,
right,
or some ego. Whatever,
ego.
Whatever it is. But it's always weird. I mean, at least my dad was just a limp noodle his entire life. You know, he didn't have, you know, and so they engage in this sort of behavior that is amoral, perhaps, but at least certainly not the kind of stuff that would help their family. And then all of a sudden they get real prideful about a lot of shit. It's this weird, convenient thing.
Hypocrisy.
It'd just be nice if you were just sort of shitty. And then once you got busted being shitty, don't get on the offense.
Well, you know what? I've been on both sides of that. I've been married 4 times, so I've been on both sides of that. And, And you've known me through, I think, 2 or 3 marriages
right,
over the years. And I think it's low self-esteem. I think it's just really just people who don't really have a good sense of themselves. I think that a lot of philandering, what I call philandering, what the guy from Ashley Madison, Noel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He calls a mortgage payment.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look, there's also this, too, which I
you
just kind of heard
him,
about today.
But why didn't you ask him if he uses his own sign?
Because I think the answer would be no, at least on the air.
Well.
You never know off.
Well, at least you have to put his dick on the chopping block.
You're right.
I mean, I just, that's how I was
waiting
for you.
I did a poor job of handling his cock. a piss poor job. You're right.
What
should have been
you
cock
mishandled
on the block.
His cock.
I mishandled his cock. And look, I've been guilty of cock mishandling.
I have too.
This was gross cock negligence.
Oh my God,
you should have chopped that cock off. Gosh darn it, Adam.
This is grounds for cock dismissal. Take the balls, too. Keep walking.
Or at least one of the balls.
I've learned my cock lesson. It will not happen again.
Let's not happen.
So your dad basically leaves you guys without a home.
Yeah. My mom moves to a housing project, so that's where I grew up.
With five kids.
Well, yeah, she moved in there with me and two of my sisters. My eldest sister got knocked up when she was 17 to get the fuck out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother, it was girl, boy, girl, girl, boy. So, my older brother was in and out of juvenile hall and had problems with drugs and all sorts of stuff. And he died of an overdose when I was 21.
Mm.
When he was 21, I was 12.
Oh, yeah. Well, worse.
I was a little boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got raped and sexually abused when I was 8. And I mean, there's a whole lot of things that happened not because of choices I made. And when I got older, I made a lot of bad choices, as you know.
Well, you know, it's that horrible syndrome. You spoke about rape or molestation, whatever, but it works that way with violence and everything else, which is at some point you're poor little victim. At another point in life, you're a victimizer. We want to come down like a sledgehammer on you when you're 17 and you're victimizing, or you're 44 and you're victimizing.
Well, it depends on what you're calling victimizing. I mean, I never victimized in the classic sense of it, but I've screwed probably over close to 1,000 women, and most of the time while I was married to other people. And
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, is that victimizing? I think it is. I think it's definitely abuse of power and abuse of game.
Did you feel guilty while you were doing it? Or do you feel guilty now?
I do. I feel horribly guilty now. I'm faithful and loving my life, and I'm cock blocked and mishandling my cock constantly, but for one woman.
Let me translate. The band's not touring anymore. They're going to hit the road May of 2014, and it's back on.
And it's all over.
Game on.
Yeah.
No, actually, I wish that I feel a little emasculated by love, I got to say.
But it is what it is. Listen, I've said it many times, which is this. There are guys who have the opportunity to cheat, and then there are guys who have to go sort of pay for it, work at it, hustle it up. You know, if you're on MTV, I was on MTV, Art was on MTV, and next thing you know, you're just in some town. Like,
no, I think you have to go out of your way to not cheat if you're what you're talking
about. Oh, you've
been,
I've been in bars in Manhattan, and a couple of chicks went, you want to watch us back in our room kind of thing. Like, it's kind of stuff that when you're a long-haul trucker doesn't happen. And there's a lot of guys that point a lot of fingers, but I don't know a lot of guys who would turn that shit down when it shows up.
Absolutely.
When it makes itself so available.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, and look, you know, it's not like, I don't look like Brad Pitt, you know? That kind of shit doesn't happen to me. It didn't happen to me until I got clean and sober, and then I started having more game, and I started, like, getting more chicks. But when fame happened, it just, like, it was like putting gasoline on the spark.
But do you feel like this happens oftentimes where people replace their drug of choice with something else?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm an addict. I'm a sexual addict. I'm an addict. I hate it when people say they're sexual addicts because you're an addict. I'm an addict. What do you got? Seriously. I mean, I didn't think I was a sports addict, like a betting addict, until about 2 weeks ago. I'm in front of the sports book at a casino in Vegas, and I see that this team is 250-1. I'm right. Like, really? So if I bet $4,000, I ask the guy, what's the most I can bet? He goes, $5,000. That's $1,250,000. Yeah,
that's right. A value bet. You'd be dumb not to.
But exactly. And then the team they were playing was 75-1. So if I bet $1,000 on that, either way, I'm going to win, right? How can you not do that? And then my mind's doing this shit, and I'm starting doing this stuff. And I look at my wife, and she's just like, so this is what it's like. Because she didn't know me when I was an addict. And wow. She's like, I'm like, damn.
Well,
that's it. But it seems like common sense, right?
But
people dig a hole like that.
I know a couple addicts, and I always say, and I don't know how you feel about this or if this is you or not, but they drink a lot of coffee, they smoke a lot of cigarettes, and their foot's always tapping. And they're like, the addicts that I know somehow are uncomfortable in their own skin, yeah. And they're looking for this release all the time. And if it's not going to be heroin, it's going to be jumping out of an airplane. Like, they need that thing. And then there are other guys that are just wired like cats. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're just mellow, and they're just sort of
It depends.
Yeah, and I don't know, but do you feel, as you know, you can stop doing the substances,
right,
and thus be sober, but there's that part of you, that metronome, that's always sort of ticking, going, absolutely, what's the next thing?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's what it was with me and with women. I wasn't doing drugs. I wasn't drinking. But I was putting my addictive behavior into that. I was putting it into work. I mean, Everclear back in the day was, and even today, I mean, we still work more than most bands do. We work constantly. I don't say no. And that's kind of a good aspect of the addictive personality. But, I mean, your point of the not comfortable in your own skin, I had a back thing about 2 years ago. I had to go to the hospital, and my wife took the baby to school and comes in to see me. And I had just gotten into this big argument with doctors who wanted to do an MRI, but I hurt too bad to get on the MRI machine. So they convinced me to take some morphine. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't want to take morphine. They're like, look, you're not breaking your sobriety. You're doing this for pain. And I'm like, okay. My wife walks in the room, and she's like, what happened? I'm like, what do you mean, what happened? She goes, you look happy. I go, because this is the first and last time you're ever going to see me comfortable in my own skin. I felt like, wow, yeah, it all makes sense. This is great. This is awesome. I didn't feel high. I just felt good.
Yeah, so do you think that the abuse in the background and all this basically hardwired you, and it's a daily effort, weekly effort, therapy and meetings and things like that. But, I mean, to be the sober, productive, faithful, good father that you are.
Well, I don't think it helped. That's for sure. I think I was pretty twisted. I think I'm very similar to my youngest daughter, who is weird and strong and powerful and full of a lot of fire. But I think one of my jobs as a parent, and I'm sure you probably agree, is to keep my children safe from that kind of abuse so that they can grow up and make choices on their own without that kind of influence. And I had that influence. I had, you know, I was a latchkey kid before anyone else was. It wasn't because my mom wanted to be, but she had to work two jobs.
So where did you guys move? Where was the project?
It's over in Culver City. It's called Mar Vista Gardens.
Ah. Culver City
used
to
nice
be.
Now.
Culver City was quite a dump back in the day.
Well, Culver City, there's parts of Culver City that are really nice.
Oh, it's a huge renaissance.
Now they've had a renaissance. Like when we used to do Loveline there, it was dicey and weird and fucked up.
You mean over at Westwood One?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it still is.
No, no. I'm telling you, that neighborhood, listen to Brian.
As one who bought a house a couple years ago, it's up and come.
That
it's
whole
up and come.
Neighborhood has come up around.
I used to deal with Coke right across the street from where Westwood One is.
It was pretty industrial, especially a little south. This is very LA-centric. But now it's all like production studios and a lot of like TV production studios and stuff. It's high-end.
Yeah.
So maybe
come over to the project. It's not high-end.
Well,
it's
look, I'm sure it wasn't high-end back in 1975 or whatever it was. Oh, no project ever is. But
not really.
So grew up in the projects, and then what?
Then as I grew up, I moved back to Santa Monica with my mom, lived in Houston, Texas for a while, started playing guitar, started writing songs. Was an addict and an alcoholic till I was about 22, 23.
What age did you start?
10.
Wow. What did you start with?
I started smoking pot at 9.
Gummy gin.
Yeah, gummy gin. They didn't have gummy gin, but I would have ate.
Write that one down.
That's pretty good.
Gonna run
did you just
that
make
shit.
That up?
I just made it up, but I think it could work.
Yeah.
Adam, you have a gummy gin signing in Portland this weekend?
Oh, August already booked.
It's already booked.
Yeah.
I don't know. Then I just started playing in bands, and when I got clean and sober, I put a lot of that energy into my music and into chasing girls, but mostly into music, and moved to Portland, started a band called Everclear back in 1992.
It didn't take long for Everclear. I mean, most bands have the, you know, we've been around for a decade playing bars. Everclear... I seem to remember hearing K-Rock songs in 92, 93, 94.
No.
Not 92, but
96.
96?
Yeah, Kevin wouldn't play our song. It was a hit other places, but Kevin wouldn't play it till after Christmas of 96, yeah.
He played, Santa Monica?
Santa Monica.
Yeah. I was in college. I just started.
Yeah, he never played anything else on K-Rock. But there was a few places. We had a song called Heroin Girl that came out the year before. And a few places played it, and wherever they played it, it was a hit. But people were scared of the name heroin.
Right.
The word heroin. But, then we became successful and had a really good run. Had like 4 or 5 platinum records in a row, multi-platinum records in a row. And I just kind of went through marriages.
Well, did that enable you? I mean, now you're sober, but all of a sudden you're having this wild success after this wild poverty. Was it too much too soon? I know that sounds kind of cliche, but what I mean is I feel like the road gets you to do bad things. It's like you eat shitty food on the road because you're on the road. You don't exercise like you should because you're on the road.
Though
like,
you could eat good and you could eat exercise. You could, but you just don't.
It's like somehow going out and you're staying in hotels, and it's just it's not conducive to a relationship or a healthy anything.
But doesn't it also feel like everything feels so transient? So it's like these calories aren't going to stick. This like everything feels like you're just passing.
Is that
through.
The way? Is that the way you rationalize it?
That's a relationship with Cinnabon.
Well, listen, I got a relationship with Cinnabon too. We're probably seeing them at the same time.
I'm not
saying that's true. I'm saying that's the feeling. Like somehow it all doesn't.
Here's
count.
What it feels like. It feels like if I was at home and I thought about having this cocktail at 8 in the morning. I would be insane. Like, I would never have a cocktail at 8 in the morning. But I'm in an airport now. I can have a cocktail at 8 in the morning. Like, or I'm on an airplane. Or wherever I am.
I see people like, do that. I see
people
do that.
Oh, yeah. You can do stuff
you can see
that
him
you
do that.
You can see me do it if you want to go out with us this weekend. What I mean is, like, things you would eat, things you would drink, you know, things that was, I don't know, maybe special occasion or I drink, but only after, you know, the streetlights come on. All of a sudden, it's game on. It has a sort of game on vibe. And I imagine it was that way with women.
Well, you know what it came down to for me? And this is in hindsight because the main thing I try to do now with everything is just be really present and be aware. And I think problems happen when people aren't present and aware. But I was really lonely, and I would be mad, And I would, I'd very childishly, like, I'll eat bad food on the road now because because I'm lonely and I want to be at home and I don't want to be on the road. I love playing the shows, but being in a bus full of guys,
yeah,
I'd rather be at home with my 30-year-old wife.
Did you ever find your dad? Did you reconcile? Yeah. Do you guys have a relationship?
No.
Is he alive? What?
He's alive. He's 92.
Really?
He looks like a Greek version of Grandpa Simpson.
Wow.
Swear to God.
And
yellow skin.
How did the reconciliation go? And then what? How come you don't have a relationship with him if you reconcile?
Can I tell another bad story?
Sure.
Okay. Sure. A few years ago, my mom was dying, and my dad had been trying to get a relationship with me for a long time, and didn't understand why. And I'm like, "What do you mean you don't understand why?" Last thing I remember of you is you beating my mom with your fist. How about that?
Was any of it? Did you also feel like he was trying to reconcile because your band had taken
partly,
off?
Partly, partly. It became more of a big deal after that. But the point being said is that he, you know, my mom was dying of cancer. Mm-hmm. And she was like 78, and she had had open heart surgery. She had been through breast cancer, and now she had lung cancer after smoking for 46 years. And I'm like, "Dad, you want a relationship with me, with my children? Call my mom. Be a mensch. Seriously. Call him. Mm-hmm. And call her and just say, let her talk. Let her say anything. And tell the truth. For the first time in your life to a woman, tell the truth to her. Admit to it. Own up to it. Be a man. If you can do that, I can forgive all. Seriously." Mm-hmm. That's how I felt. He said, "Absolutely, son." Never did it.
And thus, you never reconciled.
Why? Listen,
I am wired exactly like you, which is I have had it happen many times where I've given people the opportunity, look, go do this right thing, and then we can reconcile, or right. Then you'll get a new car lease or whatever it is. And they choose not to do it, and then they choose to be pissed off over the outcome. And it's like, you chose. My mother and my grandmother hated each other their whole lives, and it just had this horrible relationship. And my mother was raised by, she got taken by Child Protective Services and all this kind
You're
of fucking
shit. You're
talking
about her mom.
Her mom and her hated each other basically their whole lives. And my grandmother's a colossal ball buster. Just would never say anything complimentary toward my mom or anything. And she made my mom into a fucking mess, just a mess. And then the problem is when you break your kid, they end up living in your shitty extra house because you've essentially did such a thorough job of destroying your own kid that your kid can't go out and become a functioning member of society. So my mom just got welfare checks and lived in a house. But my grandmother, you know, one day, and she's now getting on, and then you become an adult, and now you see things through the eyes of an adult, and you get some insight, you know? And my grandmother was kind of lamenting to me, not in a woe is me way, but a way was like, she's never happy with anything I do. She takes everything the wrong way. She's always thinking I'm putting her down. I don't know what to do with her. And I said, "I'll tell you what, Grandma. We're supposed to go over to their house, my mom's house, which is my grandmother's other house. Supposed to go to this little house that my grandmother bought for $10,000 in North Hollywood in like 1952. We're going in there for dinner on Friday." I said, "Listen, let me tell you what to do. Let me give you some advice. Now, I'm an adult and I do a radio show where I dispense advice. You don't have to go over there and hug her and tell her you forgive her or you're sorry about the past or anything. But I'll tell you what to do. She just remodeled the bathroom. The house only has one fucking bathroom and it finally got remodeled after like 46 years. And it looks nice. And do me a favor, when you go over there, and at some point you use the bathroom, you walk out of the bathroom, go, 'Hey, Chris, that looks fantastic. That was a great job. You did a great job at that bathroom.' And then you can sit down, and her mind will officially be blown. And that's all you need. That's all you have to do. You don't have to go over there and write her apology letters or anything. Just when you do go to the bathroom at some point, walk out with a compliment. And you will have one anyway, because it looks great." And at some point, after eating our like fucking lentil stew or whatever health food bullshit my mom made, my grandmother gets up to go use the bathroom. And then she like walks back and she like plops down on the table and just, you know, finished the conversation. And I like looked across the table and I went, "What'd you think about the bathroom there, Grandma?" And she's like, "Yeah, it's okay." You know, and I was like, "All right. Well, I guess this, I guess you don't want to do whatever it's going to take to reconcile with your daughter."
So many situations like this, it's like if the person wanted to do it, if they were capable of doing it, they would have done it. They wouldn't, like, that's why they're in this situation. That's the thing that's so frustrating.
That's true, but you do think when people are getting to the end of their life, and I know they're fucking dug in deep into their pathology, but you think when they get to the end of their life and they say to you, "I would like to do this," even though right. we know they could have done it 1,000 times
it's
over.
Like, it's exactly like my dad. What do you have to be afraid of? They're old people. They're not going to hurt you. What the fuck did your grandma have to be afraid of? Why couldn't she do that? Why couldn't my dad call my mom? Why?
I know, and this isn't like I was wrong about the remodel of the bathroom. You're right. You know, it wasn't any of that. It was just, hey, it
looks
great.
Wasn't anything emotional,
yeah.
seeming.
No, you did a good job. This looks
not
great.
In the repertoire.
I know.
Not even in the fucking repertoire.
Well, you know, I mean, I look at it, and after my dad did that, it wasn't like I was mad. I don't know how you felt in that experience, but I wasn't mad. I was just like, okay, that's your choice. That's your choice, and I get all therapy about it. Everyone makes choices, man. You either make the right choice, or and if you fuck up, come back and apologize and say you fucked up. But it's not my dad's repertoire. I can't do it.
Right. But then,
to this day, can't do it.
That is their choice, and then it's your choice to associate with them or feel the way you feel about them based on their choices.
Or call it a day.
That's the other thing, too. You know, when people just do the, well, why should that affect you? Of course it affects the way you deal with them. It should. All right.
All right, so there you have it. Corolla Classics 4, March 30th, 2019. Thank you all so much for hanging out with us on this lovely Saturday or Sunday or Monday. Whenever you're listening to this, that's the beauty of podcasting. Now, we want to remind you, if you would like to request any clips, email classics@adamcarolla.com or tweet us at Giovanni Giorgio. He can tell you how to spell that.
Just type GIO for a while.
Yeah, you'll hit it. And or me at Chris Loxamana.
We are doing extra episodes. We haven't announced when, but they will be coming in the Corolla Classics feed. So if you're listening to this in the Adam Carolla Show feed, thank you. Subscribe to Corolla Classics, and you will get more episodes throughout the week. Mahalo, and get it on.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.